Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's not an advice, it's not a tip or a life hack or really even a strategy. It's an invitation from Jesus that defines Christianity as utterly different from everything else. Jesus says, come to me. This is similar to the language that he used when he called his disciples. He said, come and follow me. It's an invitation into a whole new way of life, to place your faith and trust in him, to enter into the yoke and let him do the heavy lifting, to come into the yoke and learn a new way of working in the harvest fields that will be soul-filling rather than soul-sucking. Jesus invites us to rest in him when life is hard and the burdens are heavy, and that's different. It's a different way of being human. It's a life that is God-centered. It's not human-centered. It's ultimately a journey of surrendering rather than struggling and striving. And we all know that that can be our default as humans. We struggle and we strive and it's exhausting. Every aspect of life is more difficult than it's supposed to be. We're living on this side of the fall and life leaves us heavy and burdened. Now, this is not a topical sermon designed especially for Mother's Day. I don't typically do that, but it was carefully selected in this series, and I believe that it's going to land well this morning because, after all, mothers are by definition burdened and weary. Amen? Not that dads aren't too, and if you're a human being, you're in that category, but it seems that there is a unique burden to being a mother, one which I will never know by personal experience, but only observation. But our moms carry a unique burden. And so I want to wish my own mother a happy Mother's Day, just in case you happen to be watching this particular sermon, Mom. Love you. Thank you for bringing me into this world, for being so gracious as not to prematurely take me out of this world. Thanks for keeping us boys all alive. And we know that Mother's Day can be tricky. It can be a mixed bag of emotions for a lot of us. As I looked out during the first service, I saw a lot on people's faces and in their energy. People who just were having a really hard time because it's a big day and there are a lot of feelings. Some of those my brother Shano prayed through this morning. There are a lot of different reasons. So we just want to recognize that this morning, that it's a day that can be filled with gratitude and grief at the same time. But we want to honor our mothers and the roles that they play in our lives. And this morning I have good news for you who are weary and burdened, all humans, especially for you mamas today. Good news that Jesus invites us into a rhythm of grace that promises rest for our souls. Not an easy life, not a conflict-free life, certainly not a perfect life, but a new rhythm of grace with the power to form us into people who experience a deep internal state of rest, a breath of life and grace that will carry us through the storms of life and one day to our eternal home, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. So Jesus was addressing people who were burdened by laws and commands and regulations and many detailed rules, some of which had been added on top of the many laws in Scripture. This was, of course, on top of the burdens of life that we all face. Many of these early Christians were poor. They were experiencing persecution and opposition, and life is hard. And Jesus accused on a number of occasions the spiritual leaders of his day. He said, you know what? Here's what I have a problem with. One thing that I have a problem with. People are already burdened by life. And you are adding extra unnecessary burdens on top of that. And beyond that, you just stand there with your arms crossed, not even willing to help them carry all the stuff that you're piling on top of them. And here Jesus says, my way is different. It's easy. It's light. I am full of compassion and grace and mercy. I'm humble in heart. Instead of standing there not helping us, he comes alongside us and he does the heavy lifting. He invites us into the yoke with him. Rather than harsh judgmentalism, Jesus says, I will be gentle and I will be humble. And this is good news for us. I would imagine most of us have what I would call an inner critic. We all have many voices in our lives, some of which are helpful, many of which are not helpful. And sometimes I find that the voice inside your head is the least helpful of all. That voice is not gentle and humble. It's the exact opposite. And we have to learn to turn down the volume of those voices, to turn up the volume of the voice of the good shepherd, who says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We need to hear his voice and his heart toward us. So he gives us an image this morning. It's an interesting image. The image is of a yoke, and that is a wooden bar that fits over the neck of an ox so that it can pull a cart or a plow. Now that could be placed on one animal or it could be shared by two. In a shared situation, often one of the animals would be stronger than the other. So they would pull more of the weight and they would help guide or coach the weaker animal into learning the master's commands and how to fulfill them. This is telling as Jesus invites us into the yoke with him. Now, most of us aren't farmers, so we may think of other contemporary examples where partners come in sync and they move forward together, such as riding a tandem bike or the infamous three-legged race. But in those days, the idea of taking on the yoke of a rabbi was a common way to refer to discipleship. If you took the yoke of a rabbi on yourself, then you would learn from your rabbi. You would learn their language. You would memorize their words. You would follow their particular interpretation and application of the law. You would follow their model of ministry. And ultimately, you would seek to replicate that in the lives of other people. You would take that model and their teaching, and you would teach others to follow you as you followed that rabbi. And so Jesus is saying something very profound to us this morning when he says, come into my yoke, follow me, learn from me the way to follow the master. Because unlike many other yokes that you have heard of, it won't be too heavy for you. Now, there'll still be work to do. In fact, it's kind of funny because we think of this passage as one of the quintessential rest passages in the Bible, right? Jesus says, come to me, all you're weary, and I will give you rest. But what does he do? He gives us an image that involves work. It's a yoke. What's the purpose there? The purpose is to plow the field, to carry forward the harvest, right? To do the work that God has called us to do. So it's this weird image where Jesus says, come to me and you'll find rest in doing the work that I've called you to do. So it's a very profound passage as we think in this series through this idea of work and rest in the way of Jesus. So what does it mean to enter the yoke with Jesus? Well, first of all, it means surrendering all to Jesus. That's the call. Jesus says, come, follow me. That requires putting down other things that we have been yoked to, things that we have looked to for our meaning and satisfaction and ultimate purpose, and learning a new way, being yoked to Jesus. Just like the disciples, those who are fishermen, the Gospels say that they heard the call of Jesus, they dropped their nets and they followed him. Matthew had to get up from his tax collector table, walk away from life as he had known it, and follow Jesus. So too, that is the call to every one of us. What's the cost of following Jesus? Everything. That's all. to leave behind all that we have known. So it's tricky here. There's this interesting tension because we think, okay, Jesus says that if we follow him, then it will be easy and it will be light. So does that mean that if I become a Christian, then my life's going to fall into place and my life will be easy and I won't have a lot of problems and a lot of struggles? No, that's not what it means. It means, well, then I don't have work to do. No, that's not what it means. You got to work the field. But live in this tension of finding rest for your soul and a wholeness as a human being in the midst of the struggle of life, which takes work, right? And it's harder than it's supposed to be because of the fall. It's like the quality of peace that Jesus offers. Jesus says, I offer you a peace not like the world, not peace in the sense of absence from conflict, but I offer you a different kind of peace, a peace that you can carry with you in the midst of all the chaos and all the disorder of the world. You can have a peace. It's the same kind of deal here that Jesus is threading the needle. He's saying, there's a rest for you. And it doesn't mean like just an eternal vacation at the beach or the mountains or wherever's your favorite getaway. It's a rest in the midst of the kingdom work that I've called you to. It's a rest for the soul, and that doesn't always mean rest for our bodies, because our body's getting tired. I've just accepted this reality. By the end of the day, you're just tired. It doesn't matter what you did or you didn't do. You thought you got done. By the end of the day, you get tired. Well, that's normal human being stuff. You get tired. I mean, sometimes excessive tiredness can be a symptom of a problem. But generally speaking, getting physically tired is just normal human stuff. Jesus doesn't promise you're not going to get tired when you go through a day. But he says you can go through a day with me in a way that is going to leave your soul at a state of rest, even though your physical body may be tired. To be yoked with Jesus means we give him everything we have and he gives us everything he has. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that. We get all that he has to offer. We offer all that we are. We surrender all and we come into the yoke and he gives us everything. We give him our sin and our shame, our anger, our frustration, our pain, our weariness, our loneliness. We let go of all that we are yoked to. And he gives us everything he has to offer: abundant life, hope, peace, joy, strength, faith, obedience, connection to the Father. It's the call to come and die so that Christ will be formed in us. It is a radical relinquishment. We give Jesus the full weight of our sins to bear. We give him our inability to save ourselves, and he gives us all he has to offer: full pardon, peace with God, the ability to obey God, to hear the Master's voice, to do good work, and ultimately a rest for the soul. This is a frequent call in the Gospels of Jesus, and it gets teased out in the New Testament letters. So here's just a few examples of this really, truly radical idea. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." It's the same kind of idea here as coming into the yoke, leaving all behind in order to come into the yoke with Jesus. Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I die and I become a new creation in Christ." Romans 12:1-2, "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." What does it mean to come into the yoke with Jesus? It means surrendering everything. Everything. And second, becoming a disciple of Jesus. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That's the reason we come in, right? Because he's the stronger one and we want to learn the way by stepping into the yoke with him, becoming his apprentice. This is what the word disciple means. It just simply means learner. And entering the yoke with Jesus means we have work to do, kingdom work, good work alongside him. He will never lead us. He will lead us in that. He will not leave us on our own. We're called to plow and work the fields for the harvest of righteousness. There's work to do. Doesn't mean we'll avoid the pain or suffering. Doesn't mean the good life defined by popular culture. Jesus certainly didn't escape those hard things either. He said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world." Christians are not promised freedom from illness, challenge, opposition, frustration, but we can experience God's sustaining grace so that we're not crushed, we're not given to despair. There's two layers of learning from Jesus. There's one that's kind of the objective reality, and then there's one that feels a little bit more subjective to us. The objective reality is, how do we learn the way of Jesus to step into the yoke and live life the way he lived? Well, we have four curated theological biographies, credible witnesses of things that Jesus actually did, things that he actually said, and we can learn from those, and we can pour our lives over those documents, over those witness to learn how to be more like Jesus. The second is this incredible supernatural reality that we have Christ in us and the presence and power of the very Holy Spirit of God that is helping us to become more like Jesus in real time. And we can kind of tend to emphasize one over the other of those realities, the objective truth or the subjective experience, but they're both incredibly important. Mind-bending truth. Because to be yoked to Jesus is an invitation to relationship with him, a closeness, to get into sync with his way of doing things. And there's many metaphors in Scripture for this reality, right? We're described as a living temple. We're stones in that. We're described as a body, as many parts. Here we have a different metaphor, right, of being yoked with Jesus. And all of it is pointing to this reality of union with Christ. And this is the best book I've read on the subject. I know I recommended this years ago, but if you still have not read this book, it's in my top 20 Christian books of all time still, and it's just an amazing book. And it unpacks this mind-blowing reality that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. I know it sounds pretty simple, but if every day we could live more and more into that reality, to be in union with Christ, Christ is in you, you are in Christ. That is the whole Christian experience. That's the point of it all. And the reality is more important than the sense or feeling of it, even though that's great too. We give God thanks for when we experience that reality, but there are going to be days when you don't sense that union with Christ because life is hard and you get discouraged. And you think, I know that's true, God, but I would really like just more of that experience of that. And we can pray for that, and God is gracious, but we have to know that the reality doesn't change. On the days when we aren't feeling it and aren't sensing it, it is still just as true that you are in Christ and Christ is in you if you have placed your faith in Christ alone for your salvation. You are in union with Christ. You cannot change that reality. And the Christ we experience will always be infinitely greater and more marvelous than our experience of him. At least this side of heaven, because we only see partially. We see dimly. Our view is obstructed. We get just little drops of what one day we'll experience, overwhelming waterfalls of God's love and grace and experience, but we get little pieces of it, and we thank God for that. But Christ is in you. You are in him. And because of this, verse 29, you will find rest for your souls. Not always your bodies, That's important. We're fighting for that. We've talked about that. We'll continue to talk about that. But there's a kind of rest that will not come from a getaway in the mountains or the beach, that will not come from a day off. And in fact, you can have all that and you can find moments of rest for your body. But what good is that if there is still an underlying weariness of the soul? And that's what we must pay attention to. And in fact, I believe in some way that we can't always describe, I think a weariness of the soul affects all the rest of it because we're integrated people. And I don't know how that always works, but it seems to be. And so sometimes we're addressing these surface issues, which are important, but we're not addressing the reality, because underlying every version of our tiredness, the deepest layer is a weariness of the soul, because we're spiritual beings. And the solution to this is only found in an abiding relationship with Jesus, nowhere else, because that's what you were created for. You were created for that union with Christ. And apart from that, we will not solve the issue. We will not be able to say, it is well with my soul. Because entering the yoke with Jesus ultimately means experiencing the rest of Jesus. His rest. Rest for the soul. We all find ourselves in different times and different seasons, weary and burdened, and we need this promised rest of coming into the yoke with Jesus. It's for all of us all the time. But I think especially today, this word, maybe it is for you. Maybe there are specific circumstances and you need to hear this promise of rest. Because you're suffering under the crushing demands of work, or a struggling marriage, or a wayward child, or a crushing diagnosis, or the one suffering from grief, perhaps sickness, financial stress, the weariness of caring for a loved one. Maybe you just feel far from Jesus. You're discouraged. You feel like you're facing the valley of dark shadows or the dark night of the soul. And the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 34, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord is close. He saves those who feel crushed by life. Now, the truth anchoring this rest for our souls, I've alluded to it in many different ways, but it's the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In other words, we believe, Scripture teaches us, that you are not saved by good works. It's not you get to the end of your life and you hope, well, I hope I did more good things than I did bad. No, Christianity is about this invitation from Jesus who says, come to me if you're weary and you're burdened and stop striving. Come to me and enter my rest. Enter into the yoke with me. I've already done the heavy lifting to provide your invitation. You come not because you're worthy on your own, but you are made worthy by my righteousness. And when you come into a relationship with me, there's a rest for your soul because your debt has been paid. Because of the costly blood of Jesus Christ. You owed an infinite debt you could have never paid, but it's even better than that. The second piece we often forget is that then we're not just set to kind of fill things in for ourselves, but the very righteousness of Jesus is placed in our account so that one day when we stand accountable before a holy God, he will not say, I will let you in based on what you have done. Jesus will say, hey, this one is with me, and that will be enough. That will be the final word. His righteousness will clothe us and prepare us for the eternal kingdom. This is the invitation of Jesus. Come to me. Not get your act together. Not clean your life up. Not do enough things to try to appease the gods. No, it's different. My way is different. Feeling tired and weary? I'm not going to place demands on you that you could never meet. No, just come in with me and we will run the race together. That is why, as Christians, we can have rest for the soul, an anchor for the soul, a hope that doesn't even make sense to people because it's such an amazing gift to have that peace, to have that rest. It's different. Often our deep weariness and our sense of heavy burden comes because our experience does not match our expectations. Again, Jesus is not saying life with me will be easy or pain-free or make no demands of you. What I think Jesus is saying here is that we don't have to face these things alone, and that when we enter the yoke with him, it will lead to a life where we have a rest for our souls. A deep state of rest that nothing around us can change. And so if our religious activity and our spiritual life leaves us perpetually tired and burdened, we haven't fully grasped what Jesus is talking about here. Because he says, in me you will find that rest. Again, we may not always feel that as much as we would want, but we have to take hold of that. And there may be different reasons why we don't experience that rest, that we feel a weariness. One possibility is that you're not yet yoked with Jesus. And so there's a weariness of the soul because you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus and placed your faith in him. Or maybe your experience is more that you know you're solidly in the yoke and Jesus is going this way and you keep trying to go like this. And so that leads to a weariness and a burden of life because we're trying to pull in a different direction from Jesus. And he's trying to keep us on track and we're just going the other direction. He'll keep us on the field, but when we don't live in the way that we were created and designed to, that's going to add to our weariness. And it's the opposite of the modern human project. I mean, think about it. One of the most common ideas today in our culture that's so popular is that true freedom and true happiness comes when you free yourself from all outside constraints and you don't care what anybody else says or thinks, and it's just, you just do what you think is right and what you think will make you happy. And we're finding that that's not very livable, and it isn't actually making us happy. And that's because we were created for something outside of ourselves. We're actually created. There's a freedom that comes when we say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to become the one person that you created me to be, and so I'm going to enter the yoke with you, and I'm just going to go with you. And you're going to take the lead, and I'm going to follow you. That is actually what leads to freedom and happiness. Because we've lost our way. We don't know anymore. We can't trust just trust your instincts. I don't know. Often not the best idea. Jesus says, come to me. I'm humble. I'm gentle. I'm enough. Follow me. Enter into my yoke. And you will find rest for your soul. Let's pray together about this. Father God, we thank you for this hope and we thank you for this promise of your word. We thank you that you are a God who is gracious and who is merciful, who is slow to anger, who is patient and kind. And God, ultimately, we thank you that you have made a way apart from us. You accomplished your plan to save us. So, Father, help us to enter into that rest, to find that peace and to find that rest in the midst of all these things in life that weigh us down and make us feel heavy and burdened. God, would you give us an abiding relationship with you that gives us rest? Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We want to trust you more. We want to surrender more of ourselves to you, but it's difficult. So God, we pray that Christ would be formed in us, that we would be in him as you are in the Father, and that we would reflect what you are like. God, help us to surrender and to find our rest only in you. so that we can say, it is well with our souls. Father, we look to you and give you praise in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.